Let's pray. Yeah, Jesus, today is for you. This is for you. Just like you tell us to pray, Father, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Just let that be the cry of our hearts today, that your name be lifted the highest above every name, that every other desire comes second to what you want, that you are the biggest thing in this entire universe, that one day every knee will bow and tongue confess that you are Lord. It's not we're confessed Lord, it's your confessed Lord. We all bow to you. We will all worship you. As we open up the word, let it just transform our hearts and mind. And let it actually change us from one degree of glory to the next, becoming more like you. And then let us leave this building ready to go, make you known, and see your name lifted high more and more. Amen. Amen. So, I moved here 2 months ago, a month ago. I don't know. I moved here. I can't remember. I moved here. And the point is, Chicago people are like everybody. We all just, they want to be happy. What do you want? What will make you happy? What will it take to make you happy? And that's what people are asking is, what will make me happy? So I like this idea of like filling in the blank. If I had blank, then I would be happy. Is it up behind me? Yeah. Oh, wow. If I had blank, then I would be happy. I don't know PowerPoint and stuff, so someone else did it. Do you know what it would be? Like, your wish, does it have anything to do with Jesus? That blank spot. Maybe it does. Maybe you're real holy and good. But we're all wanting that happily ever life, you know, to live happily ever after, which I think of the Snow White and the Seven Doors, you know, the witch with the evil apple. She looks jacked up, man. She don't look trustworthy. She's got that creepy nose, and Snow White knows she shouldn't eat the apple. It's like this one apple no ordinary apple. It's magic wishing apple. One bite and all your dreams will come true. All your dreams. And then Snow White, she's like, no. And then she gets back in the corner. She's like, well, I wish he would come and carry me away to his castle where we will live happily ever after. We all have a wish. And this is just a scam off of Genesis where the serpent, the most cunning of all creatures, goes, you can have what you want. And then she bites into that lie. And when you bite into the lie of this world, what is it? What's the result? Death. I mean, it's the same story. And the reason it's so powerful is because it's so true. It weaves through all that we do, is that the world promises, I promise you, if you do these set of things, you'll feel how you want to feel. And if you practice these things, you're going to be happy. The world will promise you, if you chase happiness, you'll get it. It's that one movie, The Pursuit of Happiness, Will Smith, and he's at the very end, and he goes, this little thing is called happiness. Now, that happiness goes away in a moment. This is like Hebrews, I think, 9, when it says, Moses gave up the passing pleasures of sin to live in Egypt, to live in hardship in this desert, because sin is so fun and pleasurable just for a moment, and then it passes away. So we all want to be happy. It's the same thing. So what are you wishing for? And I think the cool thing is that Scripture actually promises we can have it, but it might not be the picture you have in your mind. So we're going to read Psalms 1, but here's the deal. Psalms 1 is like the introduction to this largest, most chapters of all the Bible, 150 chapters. It's like the introduction, playing the like framework of what we're about to get into. And you know the first word? Do you know what the first word is? It's blessed, but in the Hebrew language, it's blessed, but also translated as happy. Blessed and happy. And so we're going to learn a little bit of how we actually get happy in Jesus. Woo! Which I think we all need, because Who wants to come to church with a bunch of people that just look like them and act like them and sad like them? It's not very attractive. So we need this. I know I need this. I feel convicted about this. So here we go. Psalms 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. And the wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. So the world, right? It's telling you to go after this. And this is where the psalmist says, he starts with the note, the don'ts. He says, happy or blessed is the one who does not, what? Walk in the way of the wicked. Stand in the way of sinners. And so what the world will do is what Paul says in Romans 12, where the world wants to conform you, but we are called to be transformed by the renewal of our mind, by testing and discerning what the will of God is. How do we do that? The word of God. But the thing is, the world is going to tell you over and over, you got to follow this way. And the psalmist is saying that if you follow the way of the wicked and stand in the way of sinners, you just like chaff. It's just dead. You're tossed by the wind. The wind will just blow you away. The waves will go one way or another, and you're just all over the place. I'm happy for a minute, and then I'm lost. And it's just this roller coaster ride, but the psalmist is pointing that there's a better way. And that is the way of one who delights in the law of the Lord, who meditates on it day and night. And here's the deal. It's like true. And I think some of us know it. Like when we're in the Word, not just reading it like a to-do list, but like when it's, when we're like, that's the Word getting us through it. And the storm, when we know, he can say, "It be still, be still." There are scriptures in your heart that have got you through the hardest times. And when we're meditating, not on this, but meditating on the advice of the wicked and the advice of sinners, what again, it's elusive and it looks so shiny and good. And it's so intellectually argued and it's in, we can do all that. Like, isn't it funny that we can argue all day about policies, philosophies, again and again and again, but the scripture's plain. There's one way and there's another way. There's a wide way and a narrow way. There's life, there's death. It's just, he lays it out plain. The way of the wicked and the way of God, the righteous. And so I kind of love that he just simplifies it because I'm kind of simple. Now, there's two ways we chase. Maybe three, but I think there's two primary ways in how we chase happiness. One would be chasing today's happiness, which will rob you of it. And then one is chasing tomorrow's happiness, which will rob you of it. And there's two great parables that Jesus gives us that paint this picture perfectly. So one is chasing today's happiness, which we've all done, right? We're just trying to stay high on life, entertaining distraction after distraction, just soaking up life, doing things we know we shouldn't be doing. And so Jesus paints this picture in Luke 15, the prodigal son. Some of us know this. I'm going to just read it because it's so good. And this is 15:11. There's a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said, "Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me." And he divided the property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property and reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. So he went to hire himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But then he came to himself, like light bulb moment. Oh, man, this thing moves. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put on a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to celebrate. This is a wonderful passage where if you chase the reckless living today, where does it end up? With the pigs in the gutter. If you're going to chase to just stay high for today and just be happy for today, it eventually gets you up. A storm comes, a famine comes, and then all of a sudden you're wrecked with the pigs going, I have nothing, which is a great place to be, because when you have finally realize you have nothing, you realize the only time you have something is with him. And so he started realizing, I have nothing. And this is the parable of life, that if you're going to try to make yourself happy, you will not have it. It's always at, you know, an arm's length. And until he realized, actually, my father is what all my joy comes from and all my blessings come from. And just being a servant in his house is better than being out here chasing the way of the wicked, the way of sinners. I thought this would make me happy, because I could spend all this, but eventually it leaves you empty, because famine will hit you. If it doesn't hit you now, hopefully it hits you now before it hits you in eternity. Because when you die and then you're standing before God, it's too late. Like, you want the famine to hit so that you can see that it's all empty. But we know this. We're professionals at this. We know when we entertain distractions, our people please, our follow the crowd, it just doesn't make us happy. Okay, so it's great. Now, it's also great that the Father meets you. And I think some of you are obviously here today because you want to get right with God. And this is an encouraging fact, that while you're far off, he has compassion on you and loves you. Now, maybe you're too smart. I'm way too smart to chase today's happiness. I'm smart. I would never do that. Now, this next passage is even maybe more scary. You're chasing tomorrow's happiness. This is out of Luke 12. And it's, to me, this passage we're about to hit, it's so countercultural of how we live. I'm like, are we even doing it right? And it scares me a little bit to even read it. So some of us, rather than live for the joy of today, we would rather plan out our future and live in joy at the end. It's probably called retirement, just so you know. That's why it's scary, because I'm like, oh my goodness. All right, this is the parable of Luke 12 of the rich, the parable of the rich fool. Okay, so you ready for another parable of Jesus? They're never easy in one way. Here it is. Verse 15, and he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist of the abundance of possessions. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store all my crops. And he said, I got a great idea. Actually, he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample good laid up for many years. Relax, eat, be, drink, and be merry. But then God said, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I mean, this is insane. Because he's like saying, don't store up, this is Matthew 6, don't store up where moth and rust destroy. Don't store up treasure here on earth. Don't put all your eggs in one basket here, because it's going to fade away. It's going to be destroyed. It's going to go away. And I love this because it's been encouraging me so much, because I left St. Joseph and could have had so much more money if I stayed. And we could. And people are like, you shouldn't go. It costs a lot. I mean, it's ridiculous. But then it's like, wait, these verses are true. And remember, it says don't put money and don't store up treasures here on earth, not just physical money, just anything that you treasure the most. And because he says, put first the kingdom and everything else will be added. It's like, I want to test that verse to its utter limits. Like, I want to test it, because it's not just to test it, but to be like, this is true. I want to live radically. I want to live radically because he's, first of all, my savior. It's like, I don't know where I'm laying in my head. I don't even know where I'm going to eat. Paul's in prison. I'm content in all things, with lot, with little. I'm in prison. I'm rejoicing. I'm happy. I want to have these verses so ingrained in my mind that when I am hurting, I can say, I'm rich. I'm rich because this ain't my home. This is not my home. There's something greater out there. So even in the basement, which is a great basement, I can say, I'm happy. I'm happy because we don't care about the stuff. This is like the rich young ruler, guys. We can get what we want. We can. It's a promise. That's the scariest promise. That Jesus says, you can have the promised land, but not me. He says to the rich young ruler, what do I need? And he's like, you got to give up the one thing you treasure most. He says, you lack one thing. One thing. One thing's too big in your life. For him, it was money. You could be the girl. You could be the boy. You could be your weird future vision of however you want your life to turn out. One thing you lack, he says. One thing you lack. Go give that away and then follow me. I just want to give it all. And I want to bank it, because I know 2 Corinthians 5 says you will stand before God to give account. And I want to just be like, I laid it all at your feet. I laid it. I mean, we got some money saved, but we're starting to give it away, and it's exciting. Because it's just like, when you feel God tell you to do something, just do it. You know, because he is the one that provides. And I got a lot of people too that, you know, people I know, they're very close to me. They're like, the way you live is reckless and ungodly. And it's like, well, yeah, we'll both stand before him and we'll see who's right. Okay? But I'm just gonna bank on here for a little bit. And I could be an idiot, but that's all right. Because I trust that he will provide, and he always has and he always will. Until my last breath, and he's like, okay, you're done giving me glory, come up in here, and then I'll go. You know what I mean? Go to heaven. But I want to be like Paul. I want to be like Jesus. And I don't want this stuff to trap us, you know? But these are two parables. You cannot live for tomorrow's joy. It will rob you of today. And you cannot live for today's joy, because it will end up empty. They all end up empty. So then how do we get happy? That still begs the question. How do we get happy? Because we all want to be happy. Well, there's a way of meditating on the word. How do we get happy? Well, first, I think it's realizing we have to give up the wish, the one thing you lack. I think I would live with the Sweetmans, and they like superheroes, Thanos, right? He's the big bad guy with the gauntlet. Oh, the Marvel stuff. And right, the gauntlet, he can snap his fingers and he gets the wish, but it ruins his life, his actual being. And laying that down is very difficult, right? I don't think you can lay it down by yourself, the one thing you lack. You know, laying that gauntlet down, saying, I'm not going to snap to get it. Proverbs say you can get your dreams, but they come at much busyness. They come at a cost, and it is your life. So laying that down, you can only do that, in my opinion, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, like, abiding in you richly. So happy is the one who his delight is in the law of the Lord. He's happy. He meditates on it day and night. Day and night. I guess my challenge would be to you, is maybe read scripture in a different way, just like a baby saying, okay, I'm gonna read scripture. And you could read Matthew 5, you could just read it. And all this week, you could read the first 11 verses and just go, okay, I'm gonna read this. I'm gonna give you a chance. And you know what the first verse of that is? Actually, the second verse. And he opened his mouth and he taught them this. We all know it. It's Beatitudes. Blessed is the poor in spirit. Hey, someone knows it. Blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed is the meek. Now, here's why it's so rich. This word is happy. It's another happy word. Blessed. In the Greek, this is also happy. So Jesus is saying the one who will be happy is the one who is poor. Now, why is it so vitally important to be poor in spirit? Because you got to realize I have nothing without him. This is like the prodigal son who finally realizes everything I have is a gift from him. Until you get utterly unhappy, you will not get happy. You have to utterly get unhappy of just like, this world will give me nothing. My life, I'm so sinful. I'm so depraved. I'm so messed up. The world is so messed up. Until you get completely hopeless and poor, you cannot turn. You have to realize he is the way, the truth, and the life. And everything else around us is just rubbish in compared to him. Everything I see with these eyes is rubbish, trash, compared to knowing him. That's just what we want. And it's, if you read this verse, I promise you, the Beatitudes will change your life, because I promise you, if you meditate on it day and night, it will bless you, because you get to encounter a person. The Word of God became flesh, John 1:14. You will encounter a person. Not searching the scriptures like the Pharisees. Jesus says, you're searching, but you don't find. These things speak of me. So don't go read it legalistic, but say, God, I need to see you. I need you. Blessed is the poor. Spurgeon called this the ladder of blessing. I call it the ladder of happiness. Because some of you just need to start over. You've been walking with God and became arrogant. Those six figures got you caught up. Are those no money's got you caught up and you're just mad? Whatever it is, you're caught up and you maybe need to go back to square one, which is, God, make me poor in spirit. Because after you're poor in spirit, you inherit the kingdom of heaven, and then you move on to mourning. Oh God, I need you. Oh God, I need you. Then you go meek, and you realize without him, nothing. And then you get to hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And you're like, I just need you. I just need your word, and you will be satisfied. And the verses go on and on and on, and you will be a peacemaker. And all of a sudden, this is a ladder of blessing. This is a ladder of happiness, is because this is how we walk as believers. And that's why I love it. Why do we meditate on the word day and night? The world will conform you, Paul says, but we are called to be transformed by the renewal of our mind, Romans 12. This stuff is so rich. And then what do we look like? We look like trees planted by streams. Woo! I think that's nice. It says he's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers, and the wicked, whatever. So here's the deal. There's another verse coming out of Jeremiah 17. Do we have that, Jeremiah 17? Yes. Blessed, again, same thing, is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Man, I love that, because that promise means, man, when heat comes, when storms comes, when waves come, man, I'm okay, because my roots go deep. Because my trust is in the Lord. My trust is that these words that abide in me actually are true, and my trust is in him. I mean, I could lose my legs right now. I could lose my arms. I could lose my mind even. And my grip is in Christ. That's what's so rich. I remember my grandma who had Alzheimer's, and at the very, very end, you know what she would still do? she would sing hymns. She could still quote scripture, but she couldn't even remember her grandson's name. Man, it's rich. It goes beyond science. It's like, great. I want that when I, even if my brain goes, I can still sing, great is thy faithfulness. Like, I can still sing it because it goes deeper than the mind. It's a spiritual thing. Ooh, this stuff is so good. This thing's higher than you and me. And I'm thinking, why don't we just read it? Why don't we just meditate on it? It never departs from our mouth. It's what we think about. What are you thinking about right now, lunch? What are you thinking about all through the day? You're just thinking about that next highway, that thing you want to buy? No, start thinking about it. You know who I got so convicted by? I went to Pakistan, I don't know, a little while ago. And I was with this small community in Lahore, Pakistan, of Christian believers. And guess what? Guess what? They were happy. They were blessed beyond measure, yet they had nothing. They hardly even had medical treatment. Their friends, a couple of their friends just died the week before because some Muslims killed them. Houses burned down. When they try to get jobs, they have to write Christians, and so then they can't hardly get jobs. And they have nothing. And the pastor, Ghaffar and Uma, they were in Dubai making money, looking good, and they were all going to move over there, but God said, go back to Pakistan and start a church. And they knew, oh man, this is going to be hard. They got three daughters. And they move back, give everything they have, and they live in this tiny little concrete hut that water just comes through for 3 years. And then they're saving their money. And then God says, give the money to the church so we can build a building. And they did. And you know what? They are happier than the richest people I know. They're happier than the richest people I know. Blessed, they say. They can have their children with tumors and they say, God is good. God is faithful. God is loving. I mean, not all of them, but man, these ones that have treasured the words of Scripture and experienced the encountered Christ, they are not looking back and they're not looking for success and money. They have become something. And that's what it's all about. Not achieving things, but becoming like Christ. I don't really care what I achieve. I care who I become. I want to be just like Jesus, just like him. And you know, they reminded me of, I'm sorry I'm giving scriptures. No, I'm not. What did I just say? It says in John 15, it says, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Man, that should humble you, make you meek. You think you're so good and smart. No, you're not. It's all the grace and goodness of Jesus. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire to be burned. Now, here's what my Pakistan brothers and sisters made me think. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I saw a lot of miracles over there. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. If the word of God abides in you, which Jesus is kind of saying, like, he's the word, right? He's the word. He became flesh. It's like, if the words of God abide in you, you will bear much fruit. Now, it might not be fruit like the world thinks, but it's spiritual fruit. And that's why I think, like, the Pakistan brothers, like, they love the Muslims so much. They love them so much that then they go, why do you act this way? Why are you loving this way? And then they can share Christ with them. And it's just that's what we should be. Where we love so radically, they're going, why are you treating me this way? And we just share the gospel. I'm making sure I'm staying on point here. When you get too excited. So do the words of this, not just, you don't just know it, but they've like become a part of you. And when you read them, it's like you encounter Jesus. And so I challenge you this week to like read Matthew 5, the Beatitudes, just those first 11 verses. Man, if you just opened your heart and just said, okay, I'm gonna just read these, man, it just transforms. It makes it good. But we're planted. Now, why are we planted? Why do we become a tree planted by water? And why does the tree bear fruit? Is the fruit for the tree? Is it? What? No! Trees don't eat fruit! That should have been an easy answer. I'm scared for y'all. No. Trees don't eat fruit. The tree is for others. The tree's fruit is for others. The word of God is not only for you, but for others. It's the words to eternal life, quoting Paul type of stuff. It's for others. So if you're not having this living you and being empowered by the Holy Spirit, you have nothing to give out. That's why you don't want to give stuff out. That's why you don't want to like go share with others, because you've got nothing to give out. Or you just need a little bit of the Spirit power, and that emboldens you to be witnesses. But you know, it's like we're called to be fruitful, planted, deep roots go deep, and it will produce fruit. Now, I'm going to change a little bit. Let me just see, because I've been debating doing this, but I'm going to do it. So here's the deal. We have to be fruitful, right? Planted like a tree. Now, there's another picture in Scripture Jesus gives us. It's to be light, which is kind of the same thing. The fruit is for others. Even when everyone else is withering away, we don't. And people go, why aren't you withering? And then we share with them the gift we have, which is Christ. Now, what we like to do is like what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3. He says, we tend to like want to reflect the world. He says this in this is called a mirror ball. Have you heard the Taylor Swift song? Yeah, it's real. So Taylor Swift's song is like, I want to mirror everyone else. I want to be like everyone else. So that's the truth, is Paul's saying that, again, we want to conform to the world. So we want to reflect what the world is. Why do we want to reflect the world? Why? Anybody? Come on. It's easy. Thank you, Jim. Why else? Yes, people pleasing. Oh man, that's a tough one. We want to make them happy. We want to look like them. We don't want to stand out. So you know, without light, how useful is this thing? Hardly at all. We're a bunch of mirror balls, disco balls, walking around with other disco balls. I wish I had two now, or three, and it's like, you could be, like we're all just mirroring one another. And it's like, I'm sad too. I'm depressed, I'm anxious too. I have no hope too. And so we're all these mirror balls just reflecting one another. And we forgot our primary purpose, which is, so it says reflecting the Lord's glory from one degree of glory to the next, 2 Corinthians 3. Then the next chapter, chapter 4, it says the God who said, let light shine, now shines in your heart and the glory of God can shine out. So without the light of Christ, we're just a bunch of mirror balls like everyone else reflecting all the darkness, which is no fun. This is meant to be a party. Woo! You know, it's meant to be a party. And the reason people, I think, half the time don't want to go to church, because it's like, you just look like me. There's no way what you got is good, because you're just as sad as me. And I think the point is, we need, this is bad, because it's just, look, it doesn't do anything. But the point is, the true light of Christ can shine on us. And when that's reflected into the other disco balls of the world, man, it's beautiful. And it's a party, and it's like, this is a celebration I want to be a part about. And you might stand out, But Jesus said, you don't light a lamp and put a bowl over it. No, you light a lamp and you put it up high for all to see. For all to see. Now, here's the deal. You have an opportunity to be a light even today. That's what's so cool, because we have the share the grace. We got to share the grace. And guys, this week, since I moved here, I've not been wasting it. It's like, I left my family. I left money. I've been going out to the beach witnessing. I'm just meeting everybody. At my school drop-offs, I make a point. I'm like, I did not come here for just being normal. I'm coming here to be a light, man. I'm going to be a disco ball, even if you don't like it. And I'm just going and meeting people. And guess what? They all are looking for the same thing. It's this happiness. It's this delight. It's this joy, surpassing joy. It's peace that transcends all understandings. And the only ones that can have it is not all this stuff that the world promises, but is in Jesus and Him alone. It's only in Him. And the world is all the prodigal sons. It's all those rich men and rich women that are going, I'm going to have fun one day, but they will be accounted for their souls, saying, you've lost it all, but do you have the thing that matters? So I want us to be those that say, who cares what I want? And let's go share this. Let's go share the good news. And this share the grace is so easy. You're going on door hangers and you're hardly talking to people, but we're going to talk to people. They're walking dogs. Hey, hello, how are you doing? We're going to be weirdos for Jesus. Not really. So let's end this. Let's dive this down. Yeah, band, let's come up. You want to be happy. Some of you do not know Jesus. And I want to just, you know that the path you've been walking, the wide path, has never led you to happiness. It's only led you to hopelessness, despair, sadness upon sadness, unsatisfied. And the reason you're here is because you are the prodigal son. You are longing for something higher than you. Do it. Become poor. Ask Him for help. And then there's a lot of us that are, I think, like, we're Christians, but we've got caught up in trying to build up our kingdom here on earth so we can have fun later. Man, I just say we need to repent, lay it all out, say this is not mine, this is yours. And just nothing's off the, what do you call it? Nothing's like out of its limits, out of Jesus' limits. Whatever He says goes. You tell me to say this, you tell me to do that, do it. So let's respond in prayer as we sing. Man, let's sing, but let's pray with our hearts. As we take communion, I mean, I want to take communion thinking you laid down your life for me, and we take communion. So I don't know. We gotta go. And then those that go to share the grace, man, I'm excited as we go out to say, God, let me be a light in the darkness. Let You shine through me. Let someone see the love of Jesus through me. So we got a lot of things to do today. Let's go. Let me pray, and then we will worship. Holy Spirit, You are what we need. We need Your empowerment. We need You to illuminate the eyes of our hearts to even comprehend this word. Apart from You, we can do nothing. So let us see that we need You. And as we go out today, let us just want to bring You glory. Let us want to know You more than anything else. And on top of that, God, just let us shine for You, reflecting Your glory from one degree to the next. Make us more like Jesus, shining like Jesus, being like Jesus from one degree of glory to the next. Next week, let us look more like You, Jesus, because You're working in us and transforming us. Amen.